tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Beautiful Thursday afternoon in East Tennessee. Ready to do the thing. It's a big one today. The CGP. Christopher Gabriel is on the show today. I need to tweet something about... He gets a little... Gabriel, like he likes this... If he's coming on and I haven't tweeted about it, he's like, "Dude, you're not promoting your radio show? You don't think I'm worthy of a promotional tweet?"
He's
got a little bit of a diva tendency to him, Christopher Gabriel.
No, he just, I mean, he's a big time player.
He's
out there, that tower of power out there in Fresno. Is it Fresno? It's Fresno, right? Or is he up in the Bay Area now?
Fresno. You don't even know where our guy's located at? I mean, come on.
I've got a lot on my mind. Anyhow.
A lot on your mind.
But, yeah, he's a total pro. You want to talk about it? You should.
You want to talk about it? Get on my couch and tell me about your feelings?
It's just been a whirlwind week for me. So, but shout out to, right off the top real quick, to Big Dave, a loyal supporter of our show. His surgery was successful.
Hey, Big Dave. Well done. Congrats on the new kidney.
Yeah.
Hope it works out well for you.
Hope you're feeling better. I now know what it was like for you guys when y'all were calling me last summer. He made no sense.
You know, sadly, Bear, it wasn't that different from the regular calls we make to you.
Interesting.
That's right. Shots fired. Out of the gate. By the way, Marcus Young, this guy, comes in today with the crumble cookies. Did you have the banana bread cookie?
No, but it's a situation. Like, remember when I brought you the donut the other day?
Oh.
And you'd eaten a late lunch?
Oh, you don't want to make yourself sick?
Yeah, I mean, I don't usually eat. I feel you on that. During the show. I never have.
I just ate lunch like an hour ago.
But, yeah, it was very nice. Frosty, ice cold water.
Oh yeah, he brought me a. What monster. Do you want, Marcus? What you're buttering us up for something here? I mean,
are you? No, I'm not buttering anyone up.
Me a monster.
Figured, you know.
This, did you drug this? Am I gonna pass out?
You just opened it.
I don't know. I mean, you might be able to.
Am I a spy?
I mean, we're not used to this level of support and loyalty.
I just figured, despite the
out of our third wheel, usually.
Figured I would try to do something a little nice for you fellas.
I mean, you're
once in a while I can do something nice.
What's he gonna come in? By the way, guys, sorry, I ran over both of your dogs.
Here, well, eat more of this banana bread cookie. Forget the pain.
Man, so good.
It was.
So
it tasted
good.
Just
was
like
really
it
good. All right, lot to get to here this afternoon. Christopher Gabriel is on the show in about 15 minutes. Let's start. With the Rocky Top Report, it's brought to you, as always, by our friend Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, Real Estate the Right Way. All right, a little Tennessee news. Practice number 4 in the books today. Tennessee is off tomorrow. And then the pads go on later this weekend. We'll play real football.
Yeah.
Big story today, the arrival of Lynn J. Dixon, the former Clemson and, I guess, former West Virginia running back. He did play in their spring game. Third time's a charm. That's what I always say. Clemson, too cold. West Virginia, too hot. Tennessee is the Goldilocks porridge for Lynn J. Dixon. Just right.
We got two of these guys now.
Two of who?
These type guys. Goldilocks players.
Who's the other one?
Brew McCoy. He's another Goldilocks.
You know, Hold that thought because I want to get back to Brew because I went and did a deep dive on him today.
Okay. We do our research. Have you
as
done
deep
your
a
research?
Dive you can for a guy who's played like
what 10 games? Ten games? That many? Go ahead. Sorry.
So Lin J is there, number 23 in your program, number one in your hearts. Lin J Dixon going through his first practice today.
I mean, which Lin J are we going to get, Russ? Year one, year two, Clemson Lin J, or
hope so. I guess we won't know until they get going.
If he could duplicate that here in this offense, he could do some video game numbers.
Jalen Wright continues to be limited. I hear he's got a quad injury.
Jalen Wright?
Yeah.
That's not good, Bob.
Barry Small, Dylan Sampson, Justin Williams-Thomas getting the bulk of the carries, and we'll see where Lin J. Dixon figures in. So, Kamal Haddon, we talked about him. This is an interesting situation. Many people projecting him as a starter at cornerback in the Tennessee secondary. He missed yesterday after sporting a large brace on his arm. The previous day, he was back out there today, was not practicing, was not wearing shoulder pads, but was not wearing a brace either. So just reading some of the practice reports online today, the insiders are saying they don't think it's a big deal.
So I mean, it does. I mean, I'm glad he didn't come out there in like the full-on sling and immobilized.
Well, we need him back. We need Christian Charles healthy.
So what's going on with Charles?
I don't know.
They still haven't said?
I don't know. They never say anymore. That's one of the things that college football, when they have the czar, they appoint a commissioner, they need to have an NFL-like injury disclosure policy.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised considering the widespread legalized sports betting that it's kind of not required.
I mean, I guess it doesn't matter for right now, preseason camp and all that stuff, but I mean, the week of the game, yeah, it's like Thursday, everybody should have to.
Yeah, you have to report, and there's no fudging around with those numbers, you know? Because it's.
I don't know, Barry. These are kids. This is not professional football. They're not employees. Yeah, they're student athletes.
There's how many billions of dollars are bet on these kids?
I mean, they could go the NHL route and do just upper body and lower body.
That's kind of what they do.
Like, yeah. You could have a concussion.
Guy broke his neck. He's like, yeah, he's dealing with a little bit of stiffness in the upper body.
Yeah. Broke your foot or
stiffness
maybe.
The halo that's screwed into his head.
Yeah, it's weird.
He was decapitated in practice today. He's out indefinitely.
Well, it's just an upper body injury. I'm sure I'll get over it.
No.
Week to week.
They're going to have to. They'll have to change that.
Glenn Ellerbe, Tennessee offensive line coach, meeting with the media after practice today, along with Cooper Mays, Javontez Spraggins, and Dane Davis.
Javontez, was this? I've never heard him.
I don't think I have either.
Spraggins? It's a great name.
I'd kind of prefer not to. I like the image I've cultivated of him in my mind as just this big, nasty dude who is just like somebody you don't want to have anything to do with, smells bad, just, you know, like that's what I like my offensive linemen to smell bad. I like them nasty, and I don't want to hear or be confronted with anything that might, you know, go against that. I'm sure he smells fine.
Finding out that he's just the Grant Williams of the football team. Yeah, you don't want that.
I like to picture Big Spraggs is just like a guy who just grunts. And you ask him a question. He's like constantly gnawing on a chicken bone.
Just a cauldron of rage.
Wears like a spiked collar like he's the junkyard dog or so. That's the image I want. I don't want to picture these guys as, you know, human beings. Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner. And the Kregner Group, real estate the right way. Get it sold, get it listed, get it sold, and move on. That's what they do every day at the Kregner Group. Check out the new website, teamkgrealestate.com. If you're getting out to do a little house hunting this weekend, maybe hit some open houses on Sunday, give my guy Bo a call. He'll give you the lowdown on where to go and where to avoid. 865-742-1035 is his number. Tell him I sent you. Bo Kregner, the Kregner Group, 742-1035, online, teamkgrealestate.com. realestatetheright.com. That's Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. So a bit of an interesting story percolating in SEC land today. If you're just joining us, TJ Finley, who is Auburn quarterback now, you might remember him. He played as a true freshman at LSU and then switches over to Auburn last year and is embroiled in a quarterback battle down on the plains this preseason. Well, this is probably not going to help him in his quest to keep that starting job. In police custody at the Lee County Detention Facility today on a charge of attempting to elude the Auburn Police Department. And
is he in a charger?
Well, I don't know. There's not a lot of details out, but there are rumors circulating on the internet, and we will engage from time to time in a little bit of reckless speculation here on The Drive, and one of those times is now. But there are rumors on the internet, Bear, that he was not in a charger, that he was, in fact, engaged in a low-speed moped chase. That's what you want if you're a Harson out there. He's got it coming from all different directions. He's basically half-fired at this point.
I mean, they're sharpening the knives.
His starting quarterback, you get the cop comes up, but you're on a moped.
Yeah.
You're on a go-kart, a two-wheel go-kart, and they're trying to pull you over. And this is a big guy. Remember, like he's like 6'5", 240. He's like one of these big dude quarterbacks.
Very one of the more recognizable. I mean, he's very recognizable. He's huge.
And they try to pull him over, and he's like, no, nope, ain't got time for that. I'm flooring this baby. Get it up near 25 and
6'5", what'd you say? 6'5", 240?
Take it over the embankment. Like, what are you thinking, man? What are you gonna do?
He went full Johnny Thunder. 6'5" with his long hair in the breeze.
Where is it you think you're gonna go? You think the cops are just gonna he's getting away. Oh well. Let's just hope he wasn't wearing his jersey.
How did he picture this ending? I mean, stuff goes through your head. But, I mean, this to me, I chalk this up more to if this is really what happened. I mean, it's really bad. It's really dumb, and it's just dumb. But to me, it's not as bad as if, like, he had been in his Auburn-issued Charger, driving 140 through campus or something.
Stems from a traffic violation in which Finley was cited for failure to wear a helmet while riding his moped.
Again, that's really dumb to ride one of those things without wearing a helmet.
But where does the eluding thing come on? Is it one of those
attempt
things where
to elude.
He, at first, he was like, maybe I can get out of it, and then remembered, oh, wait a minute, I'm on a moped. These are professional trained police officers. And like he just realized, I better pull over.
Yeah, like I mean, what's the conversation in the patrol car behind him when he first gives it the guns thing?
But he's running.
He's like, what is he doing?
He's getting away very, very slowly. So what if question for Auburn fans who don't think their team is going to be very good anyway, right? I mean, they're just like I said, they've postponed the inevitable. They're going to fire Brian Harsin after this season. Will they hire Hugh Freeze, Lane Kiffin? Would they dare go the Urban Meyer route? I don't know. Plenty of time to discuss that later. But this just sort of sums up where Auburn is right now. How can you expect, as Auburn's quarterback, to elude the LSU secondary when you can't even elude the Auburn Police Department?
I mean, my man, you got to be riding something bigger than a moped if you're going to run.
You mentioned his size. He's 6'7", 250 pounds.
Oh, my Lord.
On a moped.
According to ESPN. And this man was on a moped. Like,
yeah. I mean, he probably slows that thing down when he gets on
it. You already stand out in a crowd. Why make it harder?
He's a big one. Bear, we might have a minor controversy brewing as well.
What's that?
What you talking about? We are down to our last two spots in Champions League. We're going to give one away today and one away Monday, and then Champions League play starts on Tuesday. Matty Cox a.k.a. Matty Ice, a.k.a. the champ, champ, champ.
What?
Former What You Talk About champion. Two-time What You Talk About champion. Maybe it's three-time.
Let's not talk about his three-peat because that involves the controversy.
Three-peat champion Matty Ice says that he will be calling in next week. He tweeted us. He'll be calling in for the championship next week. And, you know, we've already got seven guys in, so I don't have them all memorized off the top of my head. I know that we had one Matt call earlier, and I thought, oh, did he win? I responded, have you already won? Did you win earlier this week? Because to me it was weird. Like, I would have thought that if that were Matty Ice, the champ, 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 like he would have said, hey, it's three-time What You Talk About champion Matty Ice here to collect my rent, something like that. And I mean, that didn't happen. I don't remember that. So it didn't happen. I asked him, have you already won? He responds 20 minutes ago on Twitter, no. I demanded a bye to the championship after my three-peat in 2019.
Well, I mean, all I can say to that is I can just tell you I don't recall that. But I will tell you that no demand has ever been or quarter has been given.
Yeah, you'll get very far demanding anything on this show.
From us, yeah. I mean –
All right, we'll
talk to the council.
We will submit your request. I'm not going to say a demand. It's a good way to get shot down quick, Matt.
Demand.
We'll submit that to the Council of Elders, and perhaps a ruling will be issued before the end of the show today. We got to take a quick timeout. When we continue, Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, joins to talk all things college football. Stay with us. The Drive getting fired up on a Thursday. And we're back with more right after this. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Streaming online, fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app, a variety of ways for you to experience the program this afternoon. Russell Baird Marcus cruising along with you, Thursday afternoon edition of the show, and pleased to be joined by our friend Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, out on the left coast this afternoon. CG, what's up?
Hey, not a whole bunch. Now, I've got to ask you about, is it Matlock Tires? Is that it, Matlock?
Matlock, yep. 70 years in business.
All right, very nice. So you're doing the endorsement for them. It's very impressive. You sound great. Have you done the print ad for them yet where we see Russ in, say, the orange and white overalls, you know, with the little name tag that says Rust in handwriting, you know, you're holding a wrench or maybe like a lug nut thing. You know, do we have that going yet?
I mean, that'd be a good way to repel business if you're a car place. Or say, you see me with a wrench or something. I mean, if it is more involved than, say, putting a little bit of air in the tire, I'm useless, yeah. And that might be pushing it, quite frankly, Chris. I mean, you got to get that little pressure gauge and everything. I mean, who knows what's going on
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I just want you to know that I am a kindred spirit for you when it comes to that, because beyond putting a little air in the tires and filling the car up, I'm not a car guy. If there's something wrong with the engine, I'll go around to the front. I'll pop the hood. That's one phrase I know, and I'll look under the hood, and I'll stand there.
Act like you know what you're looking at.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm looking at. I'm just, you know, the thing could be on fire, and I'd be like, oh, this doesn't look right. I guess I got to make a phone call. I'm the guy that, you know, if it's anything building, like if I go to IKEA and you get the 8-foot tall shelving unit that comes in a box that's 1 foot by 2 foot with a 45-page assembly instruction booklet in 46 languages, you find the one page in English. I'm paying the extra money to have the guy come in from IKEA to build it for me because I have no idea what I'm doing.
You know, it's interesting, Chris, and I wonder if you experienced something similar as a radio guy. People always assume, oh, you work in radio. You must be really technologically inclined. You must know how to hook everything up at home and have all the adapters and everything. I'm like, I'm the guy that, like, if there's something wrong with my computer and my wife doesn't know how to fix it, I'm screwed. I'm just sitting there in the Stone Age rubbing two rocks together trying to hope to get a spark, you know?
Again, there are a number of reasons why you and I are such good friends, and that's yet another one. I'll tell you where I'm at with that. Let's say I buy a laptop. I haven't bought one in a while. I don't know what they go for. Let's say it's $1,000. And I buy a laptop, and something's not right. I'll see my daughter come walking in the room and be like, ah, we got to get a new one. Not working.
Yeah.
Not working. And she'll come over and say, no, you have to hit this button right here.
Yeah, you have to turn it, the on button.
On. It's not on. Daddy, it's not on. And I could see in her face what she's saying is, you're such an idiot. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you there.
Christopher, good to hear your voice, my friend. We are four weeks from tonight, CG. General Nealon's big damn house of football will be open for business, and the Volunteers will be kicking off year two of the Josh Heupel era. Hard to believe we made it. The offseason is over. It's here, my friend.
Yes, it is. The orange and white letters majestically looking over the proud Tennessee River, spelling out V-O-L-S on each side of the giant jumbotron. Can't wait to see those things lit up. I'm sure they'll be lit up. I'm excited to see this offense, the weapons that Hendon Hooker is going to have at his disposal, what we believe will be an improved defense. You and I talked, you, me, Bear, Marcus talked last time. By the way, I know that I think I forgot to say Marcus's name once, and you told me that he went off, so I want to make sure that I don't.
Total prima donna, Marcus Young.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's something about that. First it was Davey, that whatever. I'm just assuming, based on our last discussion, that we're going to see crowds much bigger early on than we have in the last number of years. Just saw the thing from Danny White about how they are way beyond what their hope was for new season ticket applications and purchases. So I think that's all a good sign. And this is going to be, this should be a beatdown of Ball State coming in. And you and I and all of us, we all know that this game in too many previous years was 17-10 midway through the fourth quarter. That's not going to be the case. Not with this team, not with this coach, not with this coaching staff, and not with a crowd that is going to be ready for blood before anybody gets out of the field. People are going to be in their seats waiting for the pregame show and for the light show and the tee opening up. Man, I can't wait.
Chris, you know what I like about you as a Tennessee fan is you're one of these guys that's like, any possible slight to the Volunteers from the media, national or otherwise, you're all over it. Like, Bear, he'll send us these lists of, oh, here's so-and-so's list of five teams to watch out for, surprise teams. CGO text us immediately, Tennessee's not on this. What's this guy talking about? Oh, this guy doesn't know anything. Christopher, you are feeling Tennessee this year. You're feeling Danny White, too. Eternally optimistic. What's got you so high on this year's team?
Well, I'm eternally optimistic because I've been so down in the dumps and pessimistic for so long, kind of right there with all of you. Every now and then I'll get a note from a fan saying, well, CG, you don't know how it's been here. It's like, bro, yeah, I do. I've been rooting for the Vols for 50 years. I know how it's been there. A lot of these national media guys, I've had the pleasure, or in some cases displeasure, of meeting them, in press boxes down in Los Angeles, up with the national championship game a couple of years ago in Santa Clara. Some of these folks are absolutely fantastic people. Adam Rittenberg and Heather Dennis from ESPN are great. Ryan McGee and Marty Smith from ESPN are great. Of course, Ryan, a UT alum. There are some others not so great. And when I see one of these clowns putting a list together, and I do mean clowns, I'd call them out by name, and they know where I'm at. Do you want to take issue with me? You come right at me.
Oh.
When I mean that on the air. I don't mean like throwing down to the parking lot, for heaven's sake.
Meet me outside gate 21, Dennis Dodd.
You bring your donuts, and I'll bring mine. when I read a list, like lately I've been seeing a couple of these lists, who's going to have the biggest turnaround this year? And one of the lists had Army on it. Now I have a brother-in-law, 28 years, a lieutenant colonel, 4 deployments. I couldn't be more proud of him. I'm, military academy proud. My father, rest his soul, was a bombardier on B-29s in Korea. This is not anti-military. This is, what the hell are these people talking about? Who's concerned about a turnaround with Army? Why don't you just throw Western Kentucky and Colorado School of the Mines on this list as well. If they want to put some of these teams on a list of 5, 6, 7, 8, I saw Florida on there. Florida and our boy Billy Napier, they're on there. Then Tennessee damn well should be on any list like that as well. And you mentioned Danny White. You know, I would like Tennessee fans, you know, my guys and gals out there, orange and white proud like me, to learn about waiting and patience. Because when Danny got hired, all you heard and Bear heard and Marcus heard and I heard, everybody was ripping the hire. And it's the kind of thing in life that I don't understand in general. It's like you're baking a cake, you throw it in the oven, and then 30 seconds later, you're looking in there going, well, what? It's not done yet. What's going on? Wait, because you have to wait. It's got to cook. It's got to bake. And similarly, and I'm really making a serious point here. Similarly, when a new athletic director gets hired, when a new coach gets hired, when a new recruit comes on campus, when there's somebody from the transfer portal that comes in, as hard as it may be not to fall back on what's happened before, we've got to individually and collectively give these individuals a chance. And I say that because it's great to see so many Vols fans now totally on board the Danny White train, totally on board the Josh Heupel train. And it's not that they had to be on board right at the start. I mean, I was. You remember that on your show. But instead of jumping right on board, don't jump off. No need to start jumping on and, we're done. We're done here. That's a terrible hire. Well, first of all, who made you the expert on it, whether it was a good or bad hire? Who, you know, how do you know it was a bad hire? Just give some of these folks a chance. And I think what's really been cool now to see with Vols fans is folks are seeing they hired the right folks. Danny White is a progressive, cutting-edge thinker. He's a doer. He comes in, he has a plan, but then he listens. I mean, he listened. He understood what the VOLS at the south end of Neyland meant to everybody. And he not only did it once, he did it twice. And I think we can all agree it looks great. He has, you know, created different fan zones in the stadium. And while we can all agree or disagree about what we think of those, the point is, what was the one thing that was the unifying element? Keep the capacity over 100,000. It doesn't matter whether it actually is or isn't. The listed capacity is, what is it, 101,915? Is that what it is? Something like that. So I'm encouraged by seeing that with Vols fans. Josh Heupel, when I start reading people saying, man, I love this guy. I love his attitude. And I do too. And I think we can expect a bigger year this year. In fact, we should demand a bigger year this coming season. But I think that's what we're going to get here.
Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, with us this afternoon. So 4 weeks from tonight, the journey begins for Josh Heupel and the Volunteers at Neyland Stadium, and I'm sure we'll talk to you before then. Chris, I did want to get your thoughts as both a radio guy, who I know you have your broadcasters that you grew up on, influences, and of course, you're in California, where a little north of where the Dodgers are in L.A., obviously, but I'm sure you're very familiar with Vin Scully, legendary broadcaster, legendary guy in our field who passed away. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on him and who were some of your guys growing up? I don't know if we've ever talked about that, CJ.
No, Russ, we haven't. You know, your audience knows. And by the way, hello to everybody in East Tennessee. It's always great to visit with all of you, courtesy of Russ, Bear, and Marcus. You know, I'm a lifelong Tennessee fan, but I didn't go to college at UT. I had my chance, and that's a long story. I went to USC. And when I was at USC, and still to this day, every year they have a thing at Dodger Stadium called USC Day. And I had a chance to go up for that particular day in my junior year at SC. And Tommy Lasorda was there and all the Dodgers. And I'm not a Dodgers fan. I didn't care about meeting the Dodgers. I was hoping to meet Vin Scully because certainly I knew who he was. I loved his broadcast. When I was there, it was a chance to listen to him on the radio, and I did have a chance to meet him, and he gave a nice firm handshake. Well, hello, young man. It's very nice to meet you. And I said, Mr. Scully, and he's like, please call me Vin, and it felt a little bit weird. But I had about 3 minutes with him, and it was really cool. And he was unbelievable, of course, and I don't think that there was anybody ever like him, nor will there ever be anybody that can replicate him. You know, two people influenced me. Three people really did, actually. One was a guy in Chicago named Steve Dahl, legendary show in Chicago called Steve and Gary. And it was a show that it was a morning show. It wasn't a music show. It wasn't a sports show. It was just a combination of a lot of different things. But what I always learned from him and appreciated from him is the ability to tell a story. And to tell a story either by burying the lead or going with the lead and then kind of going up the stairway. He was very funny, but he wasn't joke funny. He was situationally funny. And that was something that I always kind of thought about myself. I'm not a joke teller, but I thought I could tell a good story. But I learned a lot by how he set up stories. And I mean, I used to take notes when I would listen to him. Second guy is Dan Barrero, legendary sports host at KFAN in the Twin Cities. And when I started in radio, I was down the hall from him. I used to sit when I was an intern, I used to sit in the production studio and just listen to him and also take note, you know, one after another. And he taught me something about rant that I've never forgotten. And obviously, when I come on your show as a guest, it's a different energy. It's a different vibe. It's a different way to set up my thoughts from when I'm a host. He said something to me 17 years ago. He said, be selective in your savagery. And I've never forgotten that, because his point is, if you're always ranting about something when you're hosting, yeah, then people aren't going to listen to you. You need to pick and choose what it is specifically that has really got you going, and then decide how much fire am I going to give this, and only give it fire when it really stirs your passion. Be selective in your savagery. And the third person is Bob Costas. I had Bob in studio when I was in Fargo. He was in town for the Roger Maris Memorial Golf Tournament, which they run. You know, Roger Maris, of course, from Fargo. There's a museum there, and they have this wonderful golf tournament every year. And the year that Bob Costas came in, he came in with Billy Crystal. And I put in a request to get either of them, and I got Bob. Bob was great. And Bob told me something that I've never forgotten, and it's why when I'm on the air, when I'm hosting, probably most of your audience hasn't heard me as a host, but I don't berate people. There's no incivility. There's no disrespect. It doesn't mean that we're not going to get in the weeds and really disagree about something, but I believe that every guest and every caller should be treated right. Mind you, be selective in your savagery. There's going to be those moments that it doesn't get there. But Bob said something to me once, another thing that I've never forgotten, guys, and it was, you can be provocative without being provocative. And I understood what he meant, but he went and explained it. And he said, look, he said, there's a lot of things, and he talked about baseball. There's a lot of things about baseball that drive me nuts. There's a lot of things about the commissioner's office that drive me nuts, and about players. I can make those points, Bob said. I can make those points, but I can do it in a way that's creative, that's specific, that's unique, and it doesn't go after somebody personally. And that was the takeaway. You know, be provocative without being provocative. Don't make it personal, because sports is never personal. This work should never be personal. So those are the three for me, Russ, that really influenced my career. And to this day, I'm still friends with Dan. I haven't talked to Bob in a long time, and it's been forever since I talked to Steve Dahl. But those three really influenced my work, and my work to this day is really a product of what I heard from them. It doesn't imitate them, but it certainly is our ingredients in the bowl.
Now, was the Dahl guy in Chicago, was he the guy, the
yes,
disco?
He was.
Yes.
Yep.
The disco,
yep,
demolition night riot at Comiskey?
Yep, 1975. he is a lifelong White Sox fan. And that was a promotion that just went a little bit outside.
A little too much.
Yeah. That was legendary. And, you know, it's funny because he's talked about that over the years, and he says, I don't regret it, but I regret the way the thing unfolded, because, you know, his passion as a Chicagoan for Comiskey Park and the South Side is the same as mine. You know, we're not Cubs fans. I grew up in the North Side, but in Chicago, when you're a White Sox fan, all you ever hear about is the Cubs. And I don't hate the Cubs, but I'm not a fan.
Sounds like
of them.
You kind of do.
Maybe a little bit. I was born a mile from Wrigley. I was baptized a mile and a half from Wrigley, and I grew up 2 miles from the park. But as a Sox fan, I'll keep this clean to make sure that the show stays on the air.
Thank you.
You get tired of hearing about the Cubs and Wrigley and Sheffield Avenue. And I mean, just on and on and on, and the little rooftops, and aren't they great? You know, I'm at the last game that I went to at Wrigley, I was in the right center field bleachers, and the two people, the guy and the gal in front of me, they're playing backgammon. The Cubs are playing the Giants, and these two knuckleheads are playing backgammon. And what you get at Wrigley now, and look, Wrigley's a glorious place to see a game. I tell people all the time, when you come into town, you got to go see a game there. There's no doubt, Wrigleyville is a great neighborhood, but like Steve Dahl, we had passion for Comiskey Park. A lot of people don't remember or don't realize that the individual who designed Comiskey, 4 years later, the same guy designed Wrigley. So I've always related to Steve's passion about the White Sox and about Comiskey, because you grew up there as a White Sox fan. Quite frankly, you get tired of hearing about the guys 11 miles away.
You know, another interesting piece, I was reading a book about ballparks this summer. The new Comiskey Park, which a lot of Chicagoans don't like, they think it's kind of generic, whatever, was designed basically for Baltimore by the same firm that ultimately designed
Why are you opening wounds here? Why are you doing this to me?
Camden Yards. And they said, no, we don't want that. Yeah. And they end up getting Camden Yards, arguably the best ballpark in baseball, and then they just shipped the same design that they originally made for Baltimore to the South Side.
May I? Allow me to just refine your story a little bit.
Okay.
Because you use the word they.
They.
It's not they. It's one guy, Jerry Reinsdorf.
Oh.
Because the architecture firm is HOK in Kansas City. Mm-hmm.
It's now Populous.
Yeah, and this the plans that he got are not exactly what Camden Yards ended up looking like, but it's pretty close. And Reinsdorf's comment, and I listen, it should be obvious, I can't stand the guy. Reinsdorf's comment was, we already had a throwback park, why would we want another one? Okay, fine. I get it. We all get it. But instead of building a kind of cool-looking, a little bit more modern park with some sort of homages back to the old days, like what they built for the Cleveland Guardians Park, no. They built a park that has an outside masonry look to it with four giant stairways slapped onto the outside of the park. An upper deck that went up about as tall as the old Sears Tower, now the Willis Tower. And, yeah, they got rid of it. Russ, Chicago, when the Chicago fire burned down the city, sent out notes to architectural firms all over the world. Most of those firms are still in Chicago. And the thought in Chicago was, we have arguably the greatest architecture of any city in the world. Why wouldn't you use a Chicago architectural firm to redesign Comiskey, or, you know, level the park, leave a little piece of it, and then redesign it right where it's at? All these great ideas, and Reinsdorf turned his back on all of them. And there's one more thing that maybe your article or your book maybe didn't tell you. The seats that came into the new park, what color were they, Russ? They were blue. And why were they blue? Because Reinsdorf was just paying honor and homage to his beloved Brooklyn Dodgers, the team of his youth.
That makes a lot of sense.
Nobody in Chicago wants to hear about any New York team having an influence on a park. So all these little pieces are why, you know, Sox fans get frustrated. It's why Cubs fans, they lose, and it's like, well, we lost. There's next year. Sox fans lose, and they're drinking for 2 weeks.
Long-suffering White Sox fan Christopher Gabriel with us this afternoon. Chris, always a pleasure, my friend. We're hoping to see you up here in a couple of weeks.
I don't see why that's not going to happen. I mean, there's a couple of potential things in play one thing that could get in the way, but otherwise I've scoped out flights, the place that I always stayed at when coming into Knoxville. So, you know, we're keeping our fingers crossed in this. We've talked privately about this, and I know that you and the station talked about it, so we're hoping that this is all going to happen.
Hoping for a big shindig. Chris, we'll talk soon, my man. Always a pleasure.
Likewise. Appreciate the invite, guys.
Christopher Gabriel at CG Program on Twitter. KMJ Fresno making his presence felt. Nobody holds a grudge like Christopher Gabriel. Total Tennessee fan. And I'm kind of like seeing the whole White Sox growing up, your club is always in the shadow of the Cubs thing. That creates a complex, I think.
It's a whole South Side, North Side of Chicago deal, too.
Well, and as Tennessee fans, that's totally.
We get that at a DNA level. We get that kind of rage, yeah. But what this may sound crazy. Of course, Christopher Gabriel he has a hotel guy. He's got a hotel. When he hits a city, he's got a hotel he uses.
I'm not have a hotel.
I'm a have a hotel guy.
I used to be cheapest.
Yeah.
Hotel guy. I've adjusted my thinking on that. There's a middle ground there. You don't want to go too high, but these websites make it so easy. To go, here's the cheapest hotel. It's cheap for a reason.
Yeah. The other thing they're really good at, though, is if you scroll down, you can find that perfect level for, whatever your range may be. Everybody's range is different.
Yeah. Quick timeout. The drive continues. Open up the phone lines, 865-546-8200. Back with more right after this.
It's going to take some getting used to, Russ.
Finally.
What I don't like about it?
After, 2 years of complaining?
I'm 2 inches lower now. I like lording it over lower. You all's end of the room.
Well, you're still higher. I mean, you're still up on your little platform there.
Like Nick Saban, all right?
After 2 years of whining.
It wasn't whining.
You're whining, bro.
You guys I've watched a collection
whining right now.
Of mooks.
You're whining.
Destroy three different sets of executive chairs over on that side of the room.
What?
And let one of you all be in any kind of danger of falling out. And,
it was the worst, most unsafe, uncomfortable stool I've ever seen. It was just unbelievable that they let it last that long back there.
I couldn't even deal with that. It was a smell,
and
really,
Nate,
for me.
Nate was like, you go find a stool and I'll buy it for you. And Bear wouldn't, Cam wouldn't. Davey wouldn't. Nobody would just do it. At one point, I even went to Target and took a picture. I was like, here's a chair. Come buy it or, whatever. And it never got done. But today, finally, show a little gratitude to Jake and Adam for getting you your chair fixed. They finally did it. Say here's.
Thanking them for doing what Nate told them to do.
Just say thank you. That's all you got to do.
Two
can't
words.
Do it, can you?
Two words.
Those two?
Those aren't the two words. Thank you.
I've,
that's what we do in polite society.
I've got issues with those two.
Is that chair more comfortable?
Yeah, it's like sitting on a cloud over here now. My back, I can feel my back isn't hurting anymore.
And his first words when
he
come back.
And he's mad about it.
Yeah.
His first words
he's mad about his life rapidly improving. For nothing. He didn't have to do anything. His life is that much better because of the kindness of two of his coworkers, and he's upset about it. That, in a nutshell, is Bear.
They've been working on the filing down the screws over there, too?
So no.
Well, now you're not high, so you're not going to rip your leg open on the tetanus nail.
It's still an OSHA. It's an OSHA issue at this point.
Careful now.
Just kidding. Hickman missed the most obvious one, the one that's ripped three people's legs open. But, it's Hickman. I do appreciate the boys pulling it in here for me. It is very comfortable. You know me, I don't like change. Got a lot of good memories on that painful rack-like structure that we tortured ourselves on.
It's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
Hey, we had one of those.
Yeah, it's also National IPA Day. Might have one of those later.
Good with that?
Those are the ones that are real hoppy.
Yeah.
Does that mean bitter?
Yeah.
Not
kinda, it is an acquired taste. And it's weird, too, because
you can get in trouble quick on those things, can't you?
Well, it just depends on the alcohol content. But it is one of the – I don't think anybody likes their first IPA. I don't think anybody. Some people might say they do. For the longest time, I'm like, this is disgusting. Why would anybody like one of these? And, you know, you're out
about –
people keep hand – it was just randomly. It wasn't like I sort of started kind of liking them. It was like, oh, man, somebody's handing me an IPA. Oh, my God, this is the best thing ever.
You don't remember which one it is?
It just snapped like that.
Oh, it wasn't that particular brand or brewer?
No.
It was just
– I like them all now. It's weird.
I always wanted to like beer.
I like beer.
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
Do you do a lighter, or do you do dark beer at all?
Yeah, occasionally.
I'm a Guinness guy.
I'm not. Even though I enjoy an IPA, I am not craft beer guy. You give me a Miller Lite, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was working downtown, they had a brewer came into the place I was working, and they were doing this whole thing, and they had these gigantic freezer bags full of hops. And I'm not a big beer guy, and I'm definitely not craft brew guy. Are you aware of what a big, giant Ziploc bag of hops
smells like?
Smells like and looks like?
Yeah.
I flipped out. I was like, who
are these?
It
doesn't
hippies?
Smell good when they're brewing. It's a very distinct smell. Brewers like it. Most people don't. But anyway.
So
rolling right along on a Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Lynn J. Dixon is on campus, practiced this morning for the first time with the Volunteers. Marcus has a good smoking hot question today, Bear.
Marcus does?
Yeah. While you were complaining about the chair.
Surprised. Yeah, while you were complaining about the nice thing somebody did for you.
I'm not going to lie. This thing is like, it's like being in the back of a Rolls Royce after that chair out there.
He's happy all of a sudden now.
What's your hot question today?
So my hot question is, and I currently have chosen four players, but I know we have some other transfers. The question is which transfer do you think is going to have the biggest impact on the roster this season? Currently, what I'm looking at is Brew McCoy, Lynn J. Dixon, Gerald Mincy, and Andre Turrentine.
Wesley Walker, I would throw in as a possibility. I was watching, looking at the film today.
I need to go look at the film.
Walker and Turrentine looked the part, man. Like, Walker, for some reason, I thought he was going to be one of these real small guys. Man, he's a pretty big dude for a defensive back.
Yeah, 6'1", 204.
I guess my initial thought is McCoy, I think. But he's still, like, you read these practice reports, he's still third or fourth team.
Right. I wonder, especially with that whole situation, are they going to give him the amount of practice that he needs to be part of that top three?
Well, I mean, you've got his eligibility thing,
right,
too. It could be Mincy. I mean, low-key, I mean, if he wins that starting left tackle job, it could very well be him. And I think it could also, like all those guys, they, truth be told, all five of those guys we just talked about should have a huge impact. We'll kick that around when we continue. Stay with us. Marcus has your top four at four. When we continue, little Fan Run Radio on your Thursday afternoon. The drive continues. Back with more right after this.